Steve, you were one of the original members of the environmental group Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society. And between 1988 and 1995, it was a key advocate for preserving Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. What sparked your interest in joining the society, and tell me about how you joined?
It was not anything happening that sparked my interest. What really happened was Dean Lamont contacted me because he knew of my political involvements in environmental issues, and he knew about my successes in some areas. So it was him that informed me about the university's plans to expand into the conservation area. And one of the first areas they were going to expand to was Nahino Park, which was built to be a park for the university. And there was also a student community gardens area and just right beside there, which would have been covered up too. So he got me up there to have a look at it, and then he wanted my views on what could be done here to save these areas in exchange, maybe giving SFU some new ideas to move away from what these ideas were.
What kind of involvement were you in then prior to Dean contacting you?
Well, I lobbied for the first recycling depot in the Lower Mainland, and that's an issue with me. I'm still lobbying for evolving environmental issues in schools. Right now we're just bringing composting into the schools now in Coquitlam. But I also, when Dean contacted me, I was already growing trees for city parks. And I'd done that by seedlings. We did rescue missions from under power lines. We did rescue missions from development sites. And over 20 years or so, I think that we saved something like 5,000 trees.
Was this something that you approached the city to do?
Well, that was kind of funny, is because I really didn't think anything of the city. I didn't even really know what CUPE was or the workers were or city council or anything at that time. When I was living with my friends, I just saw little trees growing out of the ground, so I stuck them in pots, and then they got big quite quick, and then I just started putting them into parks where I saw these spaces. And by the time that somebody finally approached me and asked me what I was doing, I'd already planted about 300 or 400 trees in different parks. They came up to me when I was watering them one day and asked me what I was doing. I says, well, I'm just watering these trees I stuck in the park here, trying to green up the park a bit. And they're saying, well, you can't do that. That's our job. And that's when I met CUPE workers. I am a CUPE worker now.
So how was that resolved?
What happened after that is the city allowed me to donate the trees to their grounds crews, and they would plant them in the parks.
Oh, I see. Sounds like a good resolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dean knew that you were involved in those kinds of things,
yeah,
and he approached you. Was there, it seems to me in one of your notes that you said that there was a conference as well, that you had met him at an environmental conference.
Yeah, I think that might have been the Stony Creek Committee put that on, or somewhere around there, or somewhere at a school. Maybe it was at a school. And they invited us with our different things, and then we met each other. And like I was displaying organic and inorganic recycling, I think, at that. And I think Dean was the Burnaby Mountain issue, and some of the other ladies in our group were interested in animals and plants. And
okay. When he approached you, had the society already been formed?
He might have had the name in his mind or written down, but there wasn't anybody except him, maybe a couple of people that he got on board to thinking about saving the area, but it wasn't really a society having meetings yet.
So when did that happen?
That was pretty shortly after that conference that we all decided to get together and started doing different things. And it was quite heated at times what priorities people thought should be occurring on the mountain and how hardcore we should be approaching the governors and the city and the governments and how to do it and stuff.
So how would you figure out or sort of resolve those conflicts to decide what your priorities would
For me, it wasn't too much of a big deal because I've done it so many times already, approached government and spoke to government and lobbied government. So it wasn't too much for me to envision doing that kind of stuff. But what the group decided we should do to go to these different levels of government, that could be quite confrontational between the group members. Like some of them could be adamant about none of these trees should be touched. SFU should not expand anymore and things like that.
So the group, did it represent a fairly broad perspective then from the community of people interested in Burnaby Mountain?
Well, there was some groups, and this is the same thing happened when we were involved with Burnaby Lake. There's some groups that get involved to get their special interest on the table, like the mountain biking. And then Burnaby Lake was the rowing people. Mm-hmm. And they would be wanting to come into the group, but then they wouldn't want to sign up as a member. They just want to come in and have influence and then go away and then do their lobby directly at the government.
So they would come to the meetings that the society was having and have some input, but they didn't want to be part of the society.
Most of them were coming to assess our membership and what we were up to and what we were focusing on.
How many, in say around 1988 when the society was formed, how many stakeholders would there be? I guess I'm thinking local, regional, even from the university and
there was up to 15 that I knew, but at a meeting there was usually 7, 8, sometimes 9 people would come out. But you know, it's pretty easy to keep people up to date. You know, computers were coming in already.
Okay. So
some people wouldn't come, but they would. Their stuff would come to the meetings, and they would get the results.
Okay.
There's one guy called Gavin in Vancouver, and like, I don't even know how some of these guys got involved, but they stuck with it for years.
Oh, so people outside of Burnaby then?
Yeah.
What were the primary concerns and goals of the society when it was first formed?
To preserve the conservation lands.
Okay, that was their focus.
That was number one. There wasn't hardly anything else on the plate at that time.
Okay. Dean Lamont then was key to forming the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society. Can you tell me about what you knew about him when you joined the society and what role he played in the society?
Well, I knew that he went to SFU. He became a private sector teacher, and he really did like gardening and the composting and growing organic food and stuff like that. And he took it very seriously to set up that community garden up there.
Oh, this was the garden in Nahino Park?
Yeah. And most students just don't have the time to be involved in a community garden. So he did all kinds of extra work to keep the garden in condition for people that wanted to come down and grow things. He would make sure that there were certain things set aside, certain areas of land and the soil and stuff like that.
Why do you suppose he was interested in doing that?
Well, I think that was just a natural thing for him to want to do that. And when he started it, I don't think he ever thought that this area was going to be threatened by development.
Oh, isn't that... That's interesting, because certainly the conflict between SFU and the city and was set up when SFU was built. But the conflict didn't seem to get into the open or become critical until the 1980s. And then it seemed as if people were really surprised that this was a problem. But why do you suppose that was?
Well, just for lack of knowledge, and that's the huge part of our society was to inform the public about the issues on the mountain and the possibilities that could happen. We had walks on the mountain with hundreds of people came to the walks. We went to all levels of government with our case. And we went to the PNE with a display of Burnaby Mountain, and we got something like 5,000 signatures from all around the world that supported preserving that. And that didn't seem like it was going to be a big part of our lobby, but I think it really was.
Was just getting people to be aware of the situation.
Yeah.
And you did that through public meetings as well.
Yeah.
In fact, I found in the Simon Fraser University student publication, The Peak, this was an advertisement March 1st, 1990, for a public meeting on land use in Burnaby Mountain. And I was really impressed with the speaker lineup. Let's see, there was Barry Jones, MLA, Derek Corrigan, who was on the council then, Tom Constable, an ex-mayor, Colin Crampton, who was a geography professor at SFU, Bowl Kiever, UBC Endowment Lands Preservation Group, and there's Gavin Ross that you were speaking of, yes, of the Green Party. Can you tell me about what happened at that meeting or other similar public meetings? Would they be well attended? And
yes, that one was really well attended. And also one of the most important guests was Chief Leonard George from the Brar Band.
Oh, was at that meeting?
I had had talks with him, and Dean was involved with me with that too. And we had asked what they would like to see occur on Burnaby Mountain, or have their ideas put forward for Burnaby Mountain. And what he had expressed when we were there was to see a nice big longhouse built up by Horizons, where they would look after it, manage it, and there'd be a history there, and there would be maybe a coffee shop or something to go with it. And after the talks, we had gone to all levels of government, and they had all agreed that that sounds like a heck of a nice idea. And then we had this conference, and he showed up with his representatives, and they had a dance party that was unbelievable, the native dancing.
Oh, when was this?
The same conference, yeah.
Oh, the
Confederation
same
House.
Okay.
All the representatives of the government were there, Sven Robinson and all the ones from the city.
But that would have been later than this March 1st. This is the March 1st meeting.
Okay.
Would that have been
It would have been at the
one?
Same place, though.
It would have been at the same place, but at a somewhat later date then. Okay.
And then the chief, it was just shocking. Like, he got up in front of everybody, and he said that just having one longhouse on the mountain wouldn't be good enough. He'd like to see seven. He made this statement that just shocked the place. It just went quiet, and we're all like, that's not what we had talked about, and why are you saying these things like this? And basically after that, they were not talked to again because his demands were just irrational.
Oh.
Which was such a shame. And we had worked with the band at that time to get their youth onto the mountain to build trails and stuff like that. And Dean was in charge of that mostly. We got grants from other levels of government to do that. And then that happened, and it all fell through. That was such a disappointment for me.
Yes, and that would have happened after, in 1990, somewhat later? Was it before?
It would have been pretty close to this meeting, because those meetings weren't too far apart.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to get him involved and get their ideas to the government, and the ideas came through. And then when it came for a really show of the government's willingness to provide funding for this, then he came up and said, one's not good enough.
And that was the end, and the First Nations were never involved with,
after that, no.
With the Burnaby Mountain after that?
No, because we had invested so much time with them talking about it and planning things and getting all the government there at the same time, and then that happened. It's too bad.
And that was Chief Leonard of the Burrard Band.